This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, our mailing address, post office box number 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. This is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking and inviting you to worship with us for this next hour. May the blessings of our Lord rest upon us. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this hour. Thank Thee for the hours that passed and gone from us, but the blessings Thou hast left us, the rejoicing in our hearts to know that Thou art our Lord, our Savior. And Father, we pray Thy blessings upon this hour, upon each and every heart, every individual, every station that carries the broadcast. Our Father, may Thy great grace rest upon us. We need Thy mercies. We need Thy help. We need Thy grace in this hour. Our Father, bless Thy people everywhere. Bless those who are afflicted in body, wherever they may be. Our Father, lay hold of hearts here and out in radio land. Awaken sinners to their need of Christ. Awaken the saints again. Renew, our Father, that work of grace in their hearts. They may arise and, oh, Father, You said that the light will shine upon us and Christ will shine upon us. Our Father, just we need that renewed awakening in every heart. And we trust Thee in this hour to fulfill that in every heart. Lord Jesus, bless the message. Bless everyone represented here this morning in this tabernacle. And we'll give Thee all the praise and honor and glory. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Now let us turn to number 96 and sing that gracious number, Calvary Covers It All. Number 96. Everybody sing. You on radio land, come on and sing along with us. Calvary Covers It All. That's true. Calvary covers it all. Now let's turn to number 491 in our hymn books. My Savior First of All. Number 491. Let's everybody stand. If you're able to stand, come on and stand with us and sing this gracious number. We shall know Him. Just like Thomas recognized Him by the print of the nails in His hands, I shall know Him. He'll be the outstanding attraction and glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall be everywhere. And that's another way we shall know Him. When we shall get to glory and see Him. I wonder if that's your hope of eternal glory. If you're hoping to get there one day, I'll tell you how to get there. I'll tell you how to get there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In that 14th chapter of John, no man cometh to the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other, none other. None other mediator given among men whereby we must be saved. It's very essential that we know Christ. if we are to go to glory, go to heaven, and be there with the redeemed, and to sit down with Moses, Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Sit down. There. Here we read about them in Scripture. There we shall see them. I know many of us have loved ones in glory. And perhaps you're longing to see their face, to see them. Of course, if you're saved, you want to see the Lord most of all, but you'll get that opportunity to see them too. That's right. To know that one day I'll see my late pastor. One day, may not be too long from now, I'll be in glory to see my late pastor and sit down there with him, with Christ, and admire him, admire the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall be admired in every one of us. We shall admire Christ in one another. Isn't that wonderful? He shall fill heaven, fill glory. And here is where he fills your life. Do you know that? Come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise him. Rejoice in him. Oh, yes, that the Lord would enable me for 22 years now since he saved me and enabled me to tell that story and how that story stays with us, how it's part of us, to know that we're saved by the grace of God, enabled to tell others. I'm glad he didn't take me home immediately after he saved me. I thought I wanted to go home, and I did. But to know that he spared us for 22 years now, that I'm able to tell others and see others, God's awakening to their lost condition, others with a hunger in their heart to want to know Christ. And then the Lord saves you now, and you can look back. He enables you to live the next 20, 25 years. You can look back and say, yes, I remember that. I remember, yes, there was a time I wanted to go home now. But I'm glad that He's kept me, and He's strengthened me, and He's showed me His grace. He's revealed His great grace to me over and over again through His Word. And I'm able to stand by the grace of God and live by the grace of God and be true to the souls of men and know the love of God and have the same compassion in my soul for sinners like my Lord had. You know, it's wonderful. That's grace that does that. Nothing apart of grace. Nothing. But I want to continue. What we left off with last Sunday would be my last lesson. You might say my lesson along this line about being accepted in the Beloved. And I've heard some gracious reports from it. People are listening in radio land. And I know all day yesterday, I just thought about it all this past week, how that God accepted me in Christ Jesus. He accepted me. Can't get over it. You heard that broadcast this morning. And if Christ is precious to you, to your heart, God has accepted you in Him, in the Beloved. That was a gracious broadcast this morning. I needed it, and my heart was just blessed, and looking forward to the services of today. I left off last week with Ephesians 2:10. I just want to repeat it for a radio land's sake. I went off the air before I got through with the message, but Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. When did God ordain this? Before the foundation of the world. God before That word before means beforehand, before the creation. God ordained our salvation, and He ordained for us for good works, to walk worthy of the calling. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Not maybe, not perhaps, not that I might, but should. It's compelling on our part to walk in good works. Good works. And good works carries with the thought of obedience unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot perform good works unless you are obedient unto Christ. Now, what does that scripture mean? It means this. Acceptance in Christ comes to us entirely as a work of God. Entirely as a work of God. In one sense of the word, we have nothing to do with our salvation. It begins with God. It ends with God. Christ is the beginning and the ending of our salvation. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Christ. So it comes to us entirely as a work of God. He had made us accepted in the Beloved. You'll find that in Ephesians 1:6. And that goes back to our text, doesn't it? Accepted in the Beloved. Are you accepted in Him? Have you been accepted in the Beloved in Christ? Do you want to be accepted in Him? I have some closing remarks to this, the study this morning. How you can be accepted in Christ. How many are outside of Christ this morning? You're sitting here before me, out in radio land. You're outside of Christ. You have no hope without God in this world. And yet you are a moral agent. You are responsible. You are a responsible being. But unless you get to Christ and come to know Him, you'll die and perish without Him. How many have put off Christ, saying, I'll just wait just a little longer. I've got plenty of time. But how many, their time has run out? They don't have any more time. People are dying every day. Every day. By the thousands. Do they know? Did they know Christ? Did they know Him as their Lord and Savior? Were their sins under the blood? Were they accepted in the Beloved? In Christ? May the Holy Spirit just picture Him so before us this morning. And before you leave this tabernacle, if you do not know Him, there may be a strong desire in your heart after Him. And you'll be like the maiden in the Song of Solomon. Oh, if I knew where I could find Him. If I knew where I can find Him, where can I find my Beloved? Acceptance in Christ comes through us entirely as a work of God. You and I could never have made ourselves acceptable. Do what we could. Refine ourselves just as much as we could, just quit all the sins that we could, do all that we could, never made ourselves acceptable unto God the Father. But we who have been accepted in Christ, let us this morning give all glory and praise and honor to Him who is sovereign, that He who made us first in creation had made us anew by His grace and had made us accepted in the Beloved, in Christ. My friends, do you know Christ? Do you know Him? He's your only hope. He's the only hope of eternal salvation. We have no other message for you. There's no other person that I can exalt to you who can save you and redeem you like the Lord Jesus Christ. This acceptance was an act of pure grace. Pure grace. There was no reason in ourselves why we should have been put into Christ. I saw no reason. I see no reason now in myself. I count myself so unworthy now as a saint, and yet God accepted me in Christ. He accepts me. He looks upon me. I'm His favorite. I'm His child. And I'm trying my best by His help to please Him, to conform to His image by His grace. Yes, the reason why we have been accepted in the Beloved lay only in the heart of the Eternal Father Himself. My Heavenly Father, I want us to turn to Ephesians, again, the second chapter. And I want us to read, beginning with the first verse again, Ephesians 2, 1, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That spirit is now working in the children of disobedience. I wonder how many of us have been delivered from that. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy..." Now, this is where I like this portion. "But God..." But God, "who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Then I want us to turn to the Epistle of the Romans, in the 9th chapter of Romans, and listen to the Word of God. The 9th chapter of Romans, let's begin reading with the 14th verse or the 8th verse. Let's begin reading with the 8th. This is they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also hath conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Have you been called to salvation in Christ? I have. I've been called of God. Salvation is a calling. Calling the sinner to come to Christ. I'm afraid that some of you have not been called. You care not for the call. You hear the general call, and you're probably taken up with that. You come to church. You go about doing religious duties best you can. Be kind as you possibly can. And you're satisfied with that general call. But have you been called with that effectual call of the Holy Spirit to come to Christ? I was back in 1952. And if you are saved, you have been called with that effectual call. You heard it. You heard it. I heard it back in 1952. And go back to the time when God awakened me to my lost condition. He gave me that effectual call to come to Christ. Have you ever been awakened to your lost condition before God? Have you ever seen yourself guilty before God? Then you know how others feel. Then you know the condition of others. I know when I was awakened to my lost condition, and I was attending the Sunday school classes and coming to the preaching service, I thought everybody felt like I did. I thought that everybody that was attending the services then were saved except I. I thought I was the only one that God was dealing with for salvation. But as time went on, I came to see that there wasn't as many saved as I thought were saved or had any concern whatsoever for salvation in Christ. They still wanted the world. They still wanted their riches, their prestige. They didn't want to lose their character for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. They still wanted to be what they were and nothing to disturb them. But I praise God that the God of glory disturbed everything in my heart and set me at uneasy in every respect and took away all of my satisfaction and every so-called peace that I had, and took it all away and swept it all away, and brought me to the knowledge, the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and anchored me in Him, and accepted me in Him. And I can say with the full assurance of my heart that He's my Lord, and He's my Savior, and He's redeemed me with His own precious blood, and that He called me by His grace and revealed His Son in me, and then putting me into the ministry. Brother, I have a salvation that's a no-so, and it's not a maybe-so. And unless you come to know the Christ that I know, you will die and perish. I want to look at that 13th verse in Romans 9. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. You see that? It said that God loves everyone. No, my friends, God doesn't love everyone. He has compassion on the multitude, and I have compassion. If God loved everyone, then there wouldn't be a soul in hell. Do you know that? There wouldn't be a sinner in hell. Everyone would be saved. But oh, how He looked over Jerusalem with a compassion. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I'm talking about a peculiar love, an individual love, a particular love that God has for His elect, for His people. I want us to look at that 13th verse as it states there, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that what? That will it, nor of him that run it, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had before prepared unto glory, even us whom he had called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and hath made us accept it, and it is by his will that we are saved. Now let's get that. God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and it is by His will that we are saved. Not by my will or by your will. It's not of him that will it, nor of him that run it, but of God that showed mercy. Remember that rich young ruler who ran to Christ? That was wonderful. He ran to Christ. And that was wonderful. It's good to see people running to Christ, wanting to know the way of salvation. But when the Lord began to lay the claims upon his heart, being rich, having a lot of money, being wealthy, he became sad and turned away. It wasn't for him. How many come and gone throughout the centuries, the ages, come running? They want to be saved. But then when trials and persecutions and things arise, they become disheartened, discouraged, turned away. Oh, but for the grace of God to hold that individual and to keep him unto the day of Jesus Christ, where would you and I be today if it wasn't for the grace of God? My friends, when I think of the vast majority of people who are dying and going into eternity without God, without hope, I'm made to praise my Lord all the more for His redeeming grace. Because I know, but for His elective grace, I would have been rejected. Let me reemphasize this great truth, that it is only as we are in Christ that we are accepted. Outside of Christ, there is no acceptance by God. You hear folks going around saying that God has accepted them, and yet they know nothing of the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the God of glory looks at you apart from Christ, whoever you may be, you as a sinner will be consumed and not accepted. When we are put into Christ, when we are within the gates of the city, when we are put into Christ, then we are within the gates of the city of refuge. And not until then are we saved. We are in the arms of the well-beloved, living in the very heart of Christ. And only then shall you know yourself to be accepted in the beloved. And because we are a part of Him, we are approved of the Father. Not for our own sakes, but for Christ's sake. Being brought into this covenant union, we then can say with the Apostle John, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You'll find that in 1 John 1:3. Therefore the Father accepts us because He cannot separate us from His Son, nor His Son from us, nor does the Heavenly Father think of Christ without us, nor of us without Christ. You see that union there? Ephesians 5:30 tells us, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Now, this explains our acceptance in the Beloved. Knowing that I have been accepted by God the Father in the Beloved, then I may come to Him when I choose. Isn't that wonderful? Take the Father and His children, the children of that home. They could come and go as they please. Come in and out. Come in, have their supper. Eat their meals, their different meals. Find their clothing. Bed to sleep on. The Father cares for them. Accepts them. Well, knowing that I have been accepted by God the Father and the Beloved, then I may come to Him when I choose. The Heavenly Father, He's my Father. He may be yours, but He's mine. And the way is made open for me to come. And I come because He accepted me in Christ. He does everything for me in Christ, because I am in Him. He pours out His blessings on me, refreshes me, renews me, supports me, strengthens me, because I've been accepted. Now, we're either accepted or rejected. I can go in and out and find green pasture. All believers have access with boldness unto this grace wherein we stand. Read Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning with that 19th verse. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come, knowing that He's ready there to receive you. He's willing to help us, as we've cried this morning, O Lord, give us strength. Give us help in our weaknesses. Thou knowest where we've been all the week, but how we need You.
And how we need to come to the throne of grace. And how we've come boldly for the forgiveness of our sins. Telling them all about our sins. All about our imperfections. All about our weaknesses. All about our temptations. Knowing and understands us. And then also realizing there's not a sin or anything charged against us because we have been accepted in the Beloved. Oh, believer, you may have sorrows and griefs. You may have aches and pains. You may have weaknesses. But if you've been accepted in the Beloved, in Christ, don't fret. Don't complain. What a great relief just to know that you have been accepted in Christ. God accepted you. Oh, saint, on your bed of affliction, think about that, of your acceptance in Christ. I may be blind, but I am accepted in the Beloved. And I could think, when I came across that, I thought about my brother, my late brother, how he was blinded in the end. And yet he was rejoicing in the Lord because God accepted him. God accepted him. I may be blind. You may be blind. But think about your acceptance of the Beloved. Believer, you may be lame. You may be poor. You may be despised and persecuted and rejected by the world, by friends. And we may have much to put up with in many ways. And I thought about that much this week. Oh, the problems, the heartaches that have arisen since I've been back. And my heart just crying unto the Lord. Lord, lead me. Lord, keep me. Lord, give me grace and wisdom. But really, all of these troubles of the flesh, they mean little or nothing to me. Since I am accepted in the Beloved. Yes, we mourn over our sins and our imperfections. And the work of repentance goes on. We plead the precious blood for cleansing. But praise God, I am accepted in the Beloved. The day is coming when we as God's people shall stand on the golden shores of glory where every robe is spotless and every heart is sinless. And around the throne, the holy angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy." Thou God omnipotent, reigneth forever and ever. And nothing that defileth nor maketh a lie can ever enter therein. Your brethren, like Joseph's brethren, may cast you out. Your friends may cast you out and count you for naught. Your friends may condemn you. As many condemn me. Your own heart may accuse you, as many accuse me. And yes, the devil may even rear up and roar upon you, like he does me. But what does it all matter, my friends, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know that you have been accepted in the Beloved, in Christ? I wanted to turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. read a gracious portion of the Word of God. Begin reading with that 28th verse. Listen to it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us in substitution, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That was a lesson for me to learn through the years. It is God that justifieth. It is God that accepts us in Christ. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall lay anything? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. L-O-V-E-D, which means He always had. He always did love us. There wasn't a time He didn't love us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Your friends may condemn you, your heart may accuse you, and yes, the devil may even roar up against you. But praise God, we've been accepted and beloved. I must leave you in Radio Land. Hear the voice of truth 7 till 8 next week. Next Sunday, 7 till 8. The Bible School of the Air at 10, from 10 to 11. And the 11 to 12 o'clock worship hour. Pray for us. Let us hear from you. May God's richest blessings rest upon you. Goodbye. Sinner, in my closing remarks, let me ask you a question, especially for you awakened sinners. Now, you listen to me. Would you like to be accepted and beloved? Would you? Would you like to be accepted in Christ? For God to smile upon you? To favor you? To know the love of God? Listen. The guiltiest of the guilty can be accepted. You say, well, I'm guilty, Pastor. You don't know how guilty I am. Well, I have a good message and a glad message for you. I have good news for you. The guiltiest of the guilty can be accepted. In Christ, no matter how great and grievous your transgressions may have been, no matter how much you may have sinned, I know Satan come along and say, well, you know, you've sinned away your day of grace. You must remember he's a liar. He's the father of liars. So no matter how great and grievous your transgressions may have been, the atoning sacrifice can take all your guilt away. And Christ's perfect righteousness can justify the most heinous sinner before God. Come. Come to Christ. Continue to come. Keep coming. Don't turn away. Don't despair. I have a message of hope for you. Don't let anything discourage you or anyone discourage you. Turn your ears away from everything that's not in accordance with the Word of God. Come to Christ. He invites you to come. Come and dine. Come. You're thirsty? He'll give you the living waters to drink. Come. You're hungry? He'll give you the bread of life to feed upon. Christ. Christ. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Trust Him now. Right now, where you're sitting. Trust Him, will you? Will you trust Him? And from this moment on, you've trusted Him. I'm trusting Him. I'm trusting Him to save me. Never did one come to Christ and was rejected. I came to Him. He didn't reject me. Others have come to Him. He's received them. He's given them power to become the sons of God. There is no fear nor possibility that if you come to Christ, He will cast you out. There's no fear there. Shouldn't be. Though you come to this tabernacle condemned this morning, though you came to this tabernacle condemned this morning, you can go out, accept it in the Beloved. Trust Christ. Completely and wholly cast yourself upon Christ. And you can go away out of this house this morning justified freely by His grace. I'm not delaying it no longer. I wouldn't put it off for this evening or tomorrow. But now is the day, my friends. Now is the accepted time. Now is your acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ, of Him. God's confronting you with these great truths and this great acceptance in Christ. Flee to Christ. Hide in those dear wounds as doves hide in the clefts of the rock. Guilty as you are, come to Christ. And if you do come, God the Father will accept you in His Beloved Son. Come to Christ. Turn to Him. Trust Him as I did one day. And you'll find that you have been accepted in the Beloved. That God accepted you in the Beloved. You might not know it then, right at the moment, but you will know. To do the thing for you to do is to trust Him. Only trust Him. Trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you now. I wonder how many in this tabernacle this morning, as an awakened sinner, you'll say, "Yes, Pastor, I'll trust Him now. I'm trusting Him now. And forever for my eternal salvation." I wonder if you come to that place. Will you stand to your feet? Are you trusting Him now, eternally, for your salvation? Is there another? You're trusting Him to save you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You trust Him now. That means there's no going back. But you're coming on to Christ. You're coming on to Him. He's the only one you can trust.
May God bless you. May He lead you. May He keep you. May He keep you. The grace of God will keep you and lead you. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Is there anything else that's worthwhile? More than knowing Christ? May God help us and lead you to choose Him this day. Christ. Let's all stand. God bless you.